tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 30 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we are speaking with Dr. Nicole Liebman and Ron Coughlin. They are with APAD Home Pet Services. They are committed to making pet care as stress-free and convenient as possible for pets, their parents, and veterinarians. They're skilled, compassionate veterinary technicians, provide in-home pet nursing care, including nail clipping, ear cleaning, medication administration, dental hygiene, anal gland expression, hospice support, and more, all in the comfort of your home. Driven by a deep passion for animal welfare, PAD extends personalized care beyond home, supporting shelters, community events, and initiatives. And we're going to find out much more about the work that they do with Little Wanderers, ARFS, Operation Cat, and they even have touched upon Bodega Cats, a little bit of New York. I'd like to welcome you both to the show. Hello, Ron. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having us. I've been a fan and seen a bunch of your shows. Super interesting.
So, Ron, how'd you get to be passionate about cats?
Well, I spent 6 years as CEO of Petco, so helped improve the wellness of millions of cats. And then I really got involved with our Petco Love, which was formerly called the Petco Foundation. And Petco Love saves about 400,000 pets a year. And so I got a better feeling for the needs in the pet space. We did a lot of adoptions out of the stores, et cetera, and really fell in love with cats. And how do we kind of create better lives for cats?
And how about you, Dr. Liebman? How'd you get to be so passionate about cats?
Well, I'm a lifelong animal lover. I've wanted to be a veterinarian since I was 4 years old. So needless to say, you don't have to convince me. I love all animals. I love dogs, horses, cats. I have one of all of those, and I would have more if I could. But cats are very special animals, and they are creatures in and of themselves. And cats, you have to earn their love. You have to earn their respect. So I find them mesmerizing beings. And when you have their love and respect, you have it forever. And so I'm deeply committed to caring for these animals because what they do for the human-animal bond is immeasurable.
Before we hit the record button, we were just sort of talking about the unique behavioral characteristics of cats and why they are better served in a home environment. Ron, I'd like to ask you to share with us a little bit today about PAD Home Pet Services and why this helps improve the quality of life for cats.
Yeah. And it was really Dr. Liebman's inspiration for this idea because she's on the front lines taking care of cats every single day. And the concept was that there's a lot of pets that just don't get taken care of properly. If you look at total cats, 47% of cats see a veterinarian every year, it's estimated, right? So that's 53% that don't, right? And when I was at Petco, we had hundreds of veterinary hospitals. And a lot of the cats didn't come in, but a lot of the cats, when they did come in, they were frightened, if I'm honest with you, right? It's barking dogs, particularly if you're going into the back room for a procedure. It's a noisy, scary place for a cat. And then lastly, I would say from a human side of things, and this contributes to it, particularly amongst the elderly, roughly 20% of the elderly are relatively immobile. So their ability to take care of their cat's needs, bring them to a hospital, is limited. So you have lots of reasons why particularly cats are underserved in terms of care. And this was really the genesis of Dr. Liebman's vision on this. And I'll pass it over to her.
I can just add upon what Ron said. And we know that cats have trouble coming to the veterinarian. Almost all of them. I treat cats every day, all day long, being a veterinary oncologist in New York City. And cats in urban areas don't go outside, right? They live in apartments. They live for a long time in apartments, and they only really go out when they go to address their health care. And it's often very frightening for them and overwhelming. And so really the impetus for our business was not to replace the veterinarian, certainly not, I am a veterinarian, not to replace the veterinary clinic, but to bridge it. So whatever can be done at home by collaborating with the veterinarian, we thought how great, how we can better the healthcare by making sure everything gets done and not sort of just saving it all up for that visit. So we've been very successful thus far in really helping pet parents, helping veterinarians, and most importantly, helping the patients.
Dr. Liebman, I'd like to ask you a question. I hear from many individuals as well as organizations in New York City that are out there doing trap, neuter, return or running rescues, which you're very involved with. And they talk about getting access to veterinary care like it's almost impossible to get an appointment to see a veterinarian. It's easier to get a ticket to a Taylor Swift concert than it is to get a spay neuter appointment in New York City. And I have, it's either that or they refer to the golden ticket or the golden appointment. Dr. Liebman, is that really the case in New York? Are you hearing that too?
Do I hear it? I do hear it. We've worked very closely with a rescue organization that I'm very fond of called Little Wanderers, run by an incredible woman, Lisa Winters. I really need to defer to her and give her all the credit. But what I'm proud to say is that we've worked closely in helping support these animals that are in great need. Lots of litters of kittens that are in rough shape, animals that are just rescued with terrible degloving wounds where the skin is just coming off, very sick cats. And yes, it is difficult. It becomes a little bit of an underground network, if you will, you know, where we all sort of do favors for each other. And there are really beautiful souls out there, beautiful veterinarians that take the time, that do whatever they can at cost or for free. I mean, it's challenging, right? You know, veterinarians aren't made of money. We all know that. So what we do comes from the heart. And so it is difficult. It's very challenging. However, I want to give New York City some street credit and say that there are lots and lots of people out there doing good for these animals. And we have great institutions like the Animal Medical Center, where I work, like the Humane Society. You know, there's a lot of private veterinarians that just donate their time and services. So there's good people out there doing the work.
Ron, in this business model, it sounds like you're sending veterinary technicians to the home to do the services that they're able to do legally within the veterinary technician parameter there. And then if a technician finds something with the cat that needs veterinary attention, at that point, then they would transition that cat into the clinic. So does that help facilitate reducing some crowding that might happen within the actual physical clinic, overbooking or urgency calls? I mean, I'm thinking about the business model, and it's almost like there's two business models supporting one another there. Was that the initial thought?
It all starts with making sure that pets, and in this instance, cats, are getting better care, right? It all starts there. And there's kind of three directions this can go. Dr. Liebman and I were talking about a case this morning where we got a phone call for a pregnant pet, and they wanted us to come out in heat. And they wanted us to come out, and Dr. Liebman assessed that was best taken care of in a hospital. But in that instance, we provided sound advice, right? Sound expert advice. So it doesn't start with the business. It starts with what's right for the pet. Example number two is when our vet tech shows up, the first thing they do is they do an 8-point check, right? So they're checking the teeth, they're checking the ears, and they have an 8-point check that Dr. Liebman devised. And if there's something we can do, like clean the ears, then we're going to do it. If it's something that needs to happen at a hospital or a veterinarian needs to do, we don't employ veterinarians. Our only veterinarian is Dr. Liebman. If a veterinarian needs to do that work, then we give them a reference to a hospital. Or we also work with two, maybe more, house call veterinarians who we offer their services as well. So we're kind of out there on the front lines seeing these issues and helping direct the pet parent. Because one of the most amazing things for statistics I ever heard in the pet business was 90% of pet parents want to do the right thing by their pet. Only 50% say they know what that looks like. So advice from someone like Dr. Liebman is invaluable. And then the last thing, example I would say, and this is kind of Dr. Liebman's daily existence, is a pet goes in for a procedure and there's aftercare. And there is nobody providing that aftercare. And so that was a real core, in addition to hospice, for the original concept, so that we could close that gap, serve that need, particularly those, like one of the ones we talk about a lot is a feeding tube. Pet parent goes in, the animal ends up with a feeding tube. Okay. And the pet parent needs to go away for 10 days. Who's there to help that? It's not your 13-year-old neighbor, right? And that was the original vision that Dr. Liebman had.
And I know during the pandemic, a lot of emergency veterinary clinics, at least in Massachusetts and New England, often were on diversion because the wait times were like 6, 8, 12 hours long. And that's just not feasible for an emergency situation with an animal. But going on diversion is also challenging because you're moving to a different urgent care and there were backlogs there too. In this scenario, where someone might be going to an emergency clinic for that type of supportive care just because they have no access anywhere else, this might be a model that works. Am I understanding this correctly, Dr. Liebman?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a huge problem. I worked every day of COVID, so I know, and I saw all of the influx when everything else was closed. It was certainly a tough time, but a pivotal time, certainly in my career, where I feel like I made a huge difference because we showed up. We were the front lines for making sure that every animal that needed to be seen was seen, certainly. So, and I have to, you know, give the hospital all the credit in the world, the Animal Medical Center, where I've spent my entire career, by embracing everything that needed to be done during that time. The AMC, really, the people that worked here during that time are heroes, true heroes. So yes, it was very difficult. Thank goodness we got out of that and some clinics closed, new clinics opened, and we're in a better situation, but we still are in a crunch and it's still, there's more work than veterinarians out there to do the work. I think we all know that.
Are you feeling impacts from a veterinary technicians shortage? We've heard about the veterinary shortage, but what about a veterinary technician shortage?
So it's really interesting that you raise that question, and it sort of, I'm going to bounce back to why we started this company, and really for three reasons. Of course, most importantly, it's the pet, right? It's always about the pet and doing whatever we can to elevate healthcare for animals. If we'd like to think of the human arena as the gold standard, we know that all people that have a hospital stay go home with some sort of information for at-home care should they need it, visiting nurse services or what have you, home health aides. And it's just not standard of care in the veterinary field. And we're here. We want to be industry changers, right? We want to elevate the industry. So certainly for the animals. Number two was really for the vet techs, because I have to tell you, I am nothing. I personally am nothing without my vet techs. I cannot do what they do. I have scratches all over my arms from a cat that I was trying to give medication to the other day. And so I'm not good at what they do. My techs are, I can't say enough words about how I feel about them. And any veterinarian that doesn't give most of the credit to them is fooling all of us. And so as a veterinarian, I'm scared about the vet tech industry, and I want to do whatever little I can do and we can do, Ron and I and Pat Home Pet Services, to elevate the vet tech. And we thought, how great to give them some independence and give them the capability to have some flexibility and to sort of have their own, you know, clientele, if you will. They're always in the background. And I thought, I want to be in the background for a little bit and support them and have them be able to get all of the kudos and get the accolades that they deserve. And so that was the second biggest reason we did it, because I care deeply about the vet tech industry, because without them, there'll be no veterinarians. And then thirdly was to support my fellow veterinarians, right? Because we all have wait lists. We're all overworked. It's a tough job. And I thought, if if a veterinarian is seeing a new puppy, let's say, that's a big case, right? It's a lifelong animal that you'll see, a new kitten, you know, and some animal needs their nails clipped and you have to choose one versus the other. Have Pad go clip the nails. If there's anything that needs to be known, we will communicate immediately with the veterinarian. Ron was talking before how we partner with house call vets and clinics, but we always defer first to the veterinarian on record if there is one. If not, we will help them find one, but always defer right back to the veterinarian on record.
Did you know that attending one of our upcoming events could be completely free? At the Community Cats podcast, we're proud to offer scholarships for many of our virtual workshops and conferences so everyone who cares for cats can participate. Whether you're looking to develop new skills, connect with experts, or increase your impact in the community, these scholarships make it easy for everyone to participate. All you need to do is apply. New opportunities are added regularly, so be sure to visit communitycatspodcast.com/event-scholarships. You never know what might be available, and filling out a simple application form could give you access to an event that will help you change the lives of cats in your neighborhood. We'd like to thank generous sponsors like Maddie's Fund, the Tompkins Foundation, the Joni Bernard Foundation, and others for making these learning opportunities possible. That's communitycatspodcast.com/event-scholarships. Don't miss out. Apply today. TNR work isn't easy. You trap them, you neuter them, you release them back into a world that barely notices they're there. It can be exhausting. It can feel never-ending. But the work you're doing, it matters, especially to the cats who rely on you. At Rescue Disinfectants, we see the work you do, the work few are willing to take on. Our powerful, vet-trusted disinfectants help you clean traps, carriers, cages, and litter boxes without the harsh chemicals that could harm the fragile lives you're fighting for. Let Rescue be there for them and for you. Visit rescuedisinfectants.com to help reduce disease risk and support better outcomes for community cats. Are you getting your message across to your entire community? Do they know what programs you offer and what they can do to help? Learn more about how to effectively market your organization or just sharpen your skills with a free self-paced marketing course, The Fundamentals of Marketing on Maddie's University. The course is designed to provide a basic understanding of marketing and provide you with templates and tools to elevate and improve your organization's brand, voice, and audience, and have fun while doing it. You'll receive a strategic marketing plan template to download free. Go to university.maddiesfund.org and search marketing to enroll now.
Yeah, and I would say it does take a team. I have had conversations with feline behaviorists who partner with veterinarians. So there's a variety of teamwork that goes in supporting and really using that veterinary technician as the central hub case manager and the relationship manager with that person to be able to take the time to listen to them, to hear their concerns, to get to know the cat and be that point person rather than being a veterinarian coming in and saying, I have a quota I'm supposed to meet. There's stuff that goes in the back of the mind of some veterinarians, especially if they're owner practice veterinarians. There's some challenges there where the technicians really are the people who should be forming these relationships and creating that continued connection out in the community. And they're going to hear, not only will they know that person there, but it's like the community doctor, right? Then they're going to hear about Sally, who's next door, whose cat might be waddling down the hall because it's 25 pounds and has all these mats or whatever. You hear more about what's going on. So you build this whole tribe of support. So I think this is a fantastic model. The more we can be what we call outward facing, or I think about integrating within the community, is really phenomenal. And I totally appreciate it. Is this a model that's going to be outside of New York City, or Ron, is the plan to keep it just in the city?
No, we're already actually, we've seen a fantastic response because it's such a need. So we're just going to do Manhattan, and we quickly expanded to Brooklyn and Queens. And then we expanded to Nassau County. And I think, keep me honest here, Nicole, I think we did our first job in New Jersey maybe last week as well. So we're slowly creeping out, but the idea would be this would be a national service because the need is national. I think we'll learn in terms of density, how much density you need to make the model work. It's always more of a challenge the less dense the population area is. So Nassau County will be interesting for us from that standpoint, but it's basically New York City plus Nassau County right now.
And Ron, is this something that might be a franchise model when you were talking about maybe the more suburban or rural areas might not work? But there are, if you look at an access to veterinary care map, there's what we call access to care deserts, where like there are full counties around the country where there's no veterinary practice at all. So I could almost see a rural model of this going out there and then being able to do that review and then help find some transport to get the animals that need the veterinary care into an urban or suburban location. But I can see applications kind of all over the country on this.
Yeah, I've been a business guy my entire life. I love franchise models. I think Dr. Liebman is her standards are a little too high for that model. That would bring a lot of headaches in terms of her being dissatisfied with the type of care. So at the end of the day, it starts with the pet. We want to make sure that we're providing the absolute highest level of care. So, you know, our intent is to, from an owned operating model standpoint, not a franchise model, to get to a global basis, or sorry, national basis.
Well, but the reality is, culturally, if somebody sees this happening in New York City and they think it's a great idea, then someone else may try to utilize it in other parts of the country. Just out of necessity, because we are talking, I'm part of the United Spay Alliance, and there's spay neuter shortages all across the country. So we're trying to brainstorm different delivery systems and different models and different options that are out there. And the important thing is getting some care to our cats, some care rather than no care. And then we're elevating the status even higher and higher. But right now, there are some parts of the country that are extremely challenged with access to any care. And that's unfortunate and not right, in my personal opinion, not right. So we have to be as creative as possible with these models. And again, that's another reason why I like this, the mobile veterinary model, the station. We all have a different role in the mosaic of pet care. And what does that mosaic and the jigsaw puzzle, you can call it whatever you want, but what does that all look like? And I'm going to tag Ron on this one because you've been in the business for a while. You have been at the balcony level for a while. So, you know, looking 5-10 years ahead, what would this perfect animal care mosaic look like?
Well, I think you start, and I probably would defer to Dr. Liebman because she lives in this every day, but I think you would start with what is the care needed in the place needed. Right now, I see, and she probably sees others, I see three major outages. The first is the home place that we're talking about right now, right? If you look, whether it be the elderly, whether it be cats, whether it be rural areas, access to care is insufficient. And we tried to address that when I was at Petco. As I said, we opened, hundreds of veterinary hospitals, many in underserved areas, right? Intentionally in underserved areas. The second piece would be affordability. I think if we're all honest with each other, the private equity acquisition of so many of the veterinary networks and veterinary hospitals has not been a good thing for affordability. And so affordability has been made more difficult, and these are run more and more like businesses. And so we've been very intentional that it's just Nicole and I funding this thing. We're not looking for any kind of private equity money or anything like that. So that would be the second piece. And then, as you cited, the geographic element to it. I'm sure Dr. Liebman has other areas that she thinks are underserved, but I think the ideal end state would be where those markets are served, where people can get care at home, where they can get care in rural areas, and where they can access affordable care. Oh, so the last thing, I was the CEO of Petco. My guy, Yummy, broke his or had a knee injury. I needed to see an ortho, and I was told 6 months. Right? I had to wait 6 months to go get that taken care of. And so it's, you know, access to care isn't just whether there's a veterinary resource in the area. It's whether there's enough veterinarians to take care of you, right?
I just want to add to what Ron said, where we serve, don't forget the Bronx. We have a lot of patients in the Bronx. Some of our most heartwarming cases have been in the Bronx. We've helped people in wheelchairs. We've helped a woman who has no use of one of her arms, bathe her animal, really, really rewarding work. And I just want to say, I'm proud of that. We had a woman who lived all the way out by JFK Airport, almost on the tip of Long Island and Queens, elderly woman who just had purchased a kitten, actually, and she needed so much help. And this is why Ron tries to keep me out of the business end. I, of course, gave everything away for free because she pulled at every heartstring of mine. And that's why Ron and I make such a great partnership, because we're sort of yin and yang. But it was just so rewarding to help this elderly woman make certain she could hold on to this pet that will absolutely increase the quality of her life. So that's the work that I'm proud of, that we're proud of. But as far as how we're going to sort of elevate the industry or pull it together, looking at the mosaic that you referred to, we want to move this throughout the country. We just want to make sure that it's done right and it's done with care and with love, making certain that we are respecting, most importantly, the animals, but the veterinarians and the pet parents. And yes, we have to survive and we have to make money, but most importantly, we want to be industry changers and make sure that we use the human arena as our gold standard and that there is care available both at the veterinary clinic, at the veterinary hospital, and at home when appropriate, so we can increase the quality of life of pet parents and the pets.
About a year ago, I interviewed one of the national leaders at Meals on Wheels, and they have a program where they're providing pet food. And that's my dream, is to have social services really interweaving in all of our needs for our cats and our pets, our family members. And instead of having us go in separate lanes, we're just overlapping together. So in Vermont here, I'm the president of Positive Pantry, but when we raise money and it gets distributed through the Vermont Food Bank, so to 220 human food shelves, includes pet food. So I don't have to create a whole new pet food distribution system. I'm just utilizing the same system that the human food is being used in there. It serves its purpose that way. Meals on Wheels is also trying to incorporate that with pet food as well as with some veterinary care. I think it's really nice to have it overlap, and public or private or nonprofit or for-profit, I don't care. We are all overlapping together and we are all mission serving, I believe, at least. Ron, did you have something you'd like to say?
I said, that's great. One, but two, I have the pleasure of serving on the board of a rescue, local rescue in San Diego. And it's called the Rancho Coastal Humane Society. And the leader there, Judy Sanzo, is, you know, you're singing right from her tune. We have a food bank there. They just raised funds to expand the veterinary practice. They have a beautiful hospital they've just put in. They do the free spay neuters. So a lot of what you talk about, they're a shining example of that effort. And, you know, whether it's the management there, the board, or the donors, just really do a great job in the community. You wish every community would have such a powerful organization.
And I do want our listeners to all think about the concept of nonprofit clinics versus for-profit initiatives, because I firmly believe 100% that it's a holistic solution, that we're all working in it together. I went to one of the largest veterinary conferences, VMX, this January, which was the first time I've ever gone, and it was overwhelming, first time I've ever been there. But it's so critically important that people are there because they love animals, regardless of the business that they're in. And I think we should believe that we can all work together to help support elevating the status of animals, creating a more humane community for animals, cats and dogs. In my case, I'm advocating for cats. And I just think that rather than like these people are bad or this organization is bad, all that stress, I think let's figure out how we can collaborate together to serve the needs of the community. And you made an interesting comment, Ron, about how you had to go 6 months out to get your dog seen. And in a lot of the programs that are need blind, so mobile spay neuter clinic, the Catmobile, we are now seeing many more people who could probably afford the services, but they can't get them soon enough. So they're coming onto the mobile spay neuter clinics because they don't want to live with a cat in heat. They don't want to live with an unneutered cat in the house. And so they are hopping on and getting into the service. For right or for wrong, that's all right. But we need to be able to spread this out and not have everything get bottlenecked, you know, at these little points here and there.
Completely.
That's one of the reasons we built this company, is to alleviate some of the stress on veterinarians, right? So they can get these animals in. So things that, you know, if there's a hyperthyroid cat and we've just changed the hyperthyroid medication, the methimazole, and does that cat really need to come back to the clinic? We'll go, we'll draw the blood. We have really skilled technicians that I scrubbed the New York metropolitan area for, and I amongst them, they have over 50 years of experience, and they'll go draw the blood and they'll drop it off. And then the veterinarian can charge whatever they want or need to charge, and they will evaluate it and they will adjust the medication as necessary. And just maybe instead of seeing that cat that didn't really have to come in and didn't really have to be stressed out, they can then go and neuter a cat, you know, probably would take the same amount of time.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Ron, if there are folks that are interested in finding out more about your business, how would they do that?
Two ways. One is they could go on padhbs.com, right? Or they can just email me at ron@padhbs.com.
Excellent. Dr. Liebman, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
I'm just really grateful that you had us on here, and any opportunity to help cats is near and dear to my heart. I grew up in New York City. I have been in love with a bodega cat that has lived in a bodega in my building for 12 years. When the bodega closed, a pet store opened and they adopted Johnny. And Johnny just moved to his forever home, which I saw a little girl outside crying when the note was there that Johnny had moved to his forever home. And then I was crying. So the little girl and I were crying. The parents were okay. But I realized how beautiful that the community came together to give Johnny his forever home. I had been feeding him for years. And so my cat doesn't like other cats. Otherwise, he'd probably be living in my home. And so anything we can do to help these creatures, cats need everyone that is willing to be out there for them. I love dogs too, but we all know that less people are out there advocating for cats than there are for dogs.
Dr. Liebman and Ron, I want to thank you both so much for joining me today for this episode of the Community Cats Podcast. And I hope we may have you on again in the future.
We would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.